The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 31st, 2009, in Klang, Malaysia.
Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha
So, today is the most auspicious occasion, initiation ceremony. Why is it most auspicious? Because initiation means deathlessness. Srila Prabhupada explains that from the very moment of one's diksha, from that very moment you see when the disciple receives the name in the beads, from that very moment of diksha, provided the disciple strictly follows the orders he is received from his spiritual master. At that very moment, the disciple attains immortality, deathlessness. His eternal identity in the spiritual sky comes into being once again. It is simply a matter of time before he will be face to face with Krishna. You see. He's not perfect yet, he's beginning the path. But he has the mango. It's not ripe yet. It's green mango. But if he follows the process strictly, chanting the prescribed number of rounds, chanting with devotion Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, carefully avoiding illicit sex life, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, then an assurance certain that in due course of time, that mango will become fully ripened and he will regain his eternal identity in the pastimes of Krishna. So there is nothing more auspicious than this initiation ceremony. It is actually essential. Some people think, well, I like Krishna consciousness, but I don't like the idea of having a guru because then Guruji will tell me to do this, he'll tell me to do that. You know what that's called? Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. Half hen logic. You know the farmer, he had a hen. And that hen laid very, very nice eggs. He was making big money in the market off of those eggs. Very nice eggs. But the farmer had one complaint. This hen eats too much feed. So one day the farmer, he had, but he thought of his very bright idea. I know what I will do. I will cut off the head that eats all the feed, and I will just keep the rear end that lays the nice eggs. Just see the stupid man, you see. I had no brain. So he did that. The rascal cut off the head of the hen, and he's sitting there waiting when an egg will come out. He couldn't figure out why no more eggs were coming. What a fool he was, you see. So that is called half-hen logic, you see. That this I like very much, this end, but this I do not like, you see. Krishna, within, he is called Chaitya Guru, you see. And Krishna externally, Krishna without, he is called the bona fide spiritual master. You see, that is Krishna's manifestation. You say, well, this Krishna I like, this one I don't like. Well, guess what? You don't get the eggs. No love of God. Now that the spiritual master is Krishna, do not misunderstand. But he is as good as Krishna because he is the empowered representative of Krishna. He acts and he instructs the disciples on behalf of Krishna. Just like in the military, there is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. And the soldier, he must be obedient to the commander-in-chief. But now he's not directly getting his orders from commander-in-chief. He's getting from his immediate commander, who gets it from his immediate commander all the way up to the commander-in-chief. So by serving his immediate commander, he gets credit for being a loyal servant of the commander-in-chief. So by following the orders of your spiritual master, and by following the order of the representatives of your spiritual master, you see, the spiritual master, he is represented by the temple president in the GBC. Who is the temple president? Here? Yes. He is my empowered representative, you see. For my disciples, he is my empowered representative. So by their following the temple president, they are obeying me, you see. When I am not present, they ask Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when you are not present, how will we know if we are pleasing you or not? And Srila Prabhupada said, the temple presidents and the GBC are there. So when I am not here, I come once a year. My plan is to come once a year to Malaysia. So it's not that when the cat's away, the mice will play. You see. When I am not here, my representative is here, your local temple president. So you follow his instructions. He is my empowered representative. By pleasing him, you are pleasing me. You see, you can know my guru is pleased when I'm pleasing my local authority, you see, in this way. So this is a scientific process, Krishna consciousness. Just as in the material science, in chemistry science, we have H2O equals water. You see. When I was a boy in the high school, we did that. We went to the laboratory, we combined two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, and lo and behold, what did we get in our test tube? Water. It was amazing. I went, wow, this is great. I got water here in my test tube. And this formula is real. It works, you see. So they have their H2O equals water formula. And we have Guru, the mercy of Guru and Krishna combined gives Krishna Prem. That is our formula. They are getting water, and we are getting Krishna Prem. If you take the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, then you will get, in the test tube of your heart, you will get Krishna Prem. You see, it is guaranteed. Just as H2O equals water, every time, if you follow strictly the directions in the laboratory manual, every time you will get water. That's a thing. And if you follow the descriptions given in the laboratory manual known as Bhagavad Gita, in the test tube of your heart, you're guaranteed to get pure Krishna Prem, Shuddha Bhakti. It is guaranteed. And if you're not getting it, does that mean there's something wrong with the process? That Prabhupada gave us something which is defective? No. It means you're not strictly following the laboratory manual. If you follow a cookbook to make banana bread, and you get a bunch of goo in the bottom of your pan instead of a banana bread. Was there a defect with the recipe? No. You left out the baking powder. That's why. So in this process of Krishna consciousness, please, 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 do not leave out the baking powder. Don't leave out the baking powder. And what is that baking powder? You must have shraddha, faith in this process. Don't let anything break. You can do all of these things, but if you have no faith, then your chanting will be as like the parrot, you see. In Fiji Islands, on Tavayuni Island, there's one parrot. He goes, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But he's doing it because he wants us to give him some food. He's not chanting to purify his heart, you see. Will he go back to Godhead by that heart? No. Maybe by the Pashadam devotees feed him, he may go back. But not by his chanting, you see. Because he's not chanting in faith to develop love for God. He's just chanting to get some food to eat. Actually, Prabhupada gave the example. He said, you may train the parrot to go Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But when the cat catches him by the neck, caw, 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 no more Krishna. You see. Prabhupada said. So, these disciples now that I'm accepting, they must be very, very careful to never lose their faith in this process. They must have very, very, very staunch faith, you see. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hirata prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those persons who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and the words of Krishna as spoken in the Bhagavad Gita are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. You must have unflinching faith. You see. Unflinching faith. That unflinching faith will empower you to capture Krishna. Krishna cannot be captured. Krishna is ajita, he is unconquerable, he is uncapturable. But by your loving faith in Krishna, just as Yashoda captured, you can also capture Krishna. He will become under your love, under the power of your love. If your love becomes pure, you can capture Krishna. That person who controls and owns everything, he will become your captive. If you become completely pure and you allow Krishna to totally captivate you, he will empower you to captivate him. You may say, but why would God want to do that? Why would he want to be under my control? You know the example that Prabhupada gave? Prime Minister Gladstone of England, you see. Back in the old days, when the sun never sets on the British Empire. Now it hardly ever rises on the British Empire. Those days the sun never set on the British Empire. And the Prime Minister, he was very, very big, powerful man. Prime Minister Gladstone, under Queen Victoria's rule. So one day, someone came to see Prime Minister Gladstone. And they were waiting in the waiting room outside of his office. Waiting, waiting. It was a half hour late, 45 minutes late. They wondered, what's going on? I have an appointment. He's in there. What is so important that he's not coming, he's not opening the door to let me come in to see him? So in those days, they had the keyhole where you could peek through the keyhole, the old-fashioned keys. You've seen those old-time doors? You can see through the keyhole. So he finally just couldn't contain himself anymore. He went up and he peeked through the keyhole. And what did he see? There was, you know this? Prime Minister Gladstone was down on his hands and legs, crawling around on the floor with his grandson on his back. The grandson was going, giddy up, giddy up. He was playing as a horse for his little grandson, you see. He said, forget the administration of the British Empire. Let me be the horse for my grandson for a while. Let's put all the appointments on hold so I can be a horse for my grandson. You see. So, this tells us something of God. Prabhupada gave this as an example to show us what is the something we can learn about the Supreme Lord. Is he very eager to be the big powerful controller of everything? Not really. He would rather be under the control of his devotee and loving affection. That's more pleasurable for him. So Krishna, out of his loving mood of appreciating his devotee's sincere love for him, will allow the devotee to become superior to him and take a subordinate position as a chastised son of Yashoda or as chariot driver for Arjuna, you see. So if you can become completely dedicated to Krishna, totally sold out to Krishna, in this way, by his grace, you can capture Krishna. So it all depends on that staunch, unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna. You must have the staunch, unflinching faith. No matter what may happen, you must never lose your faith in the words of Guru and Krishna. And that will guarantee that all the Vedic wisdom becomes revealed within your heart. You will see everything clearly. You will become fully enlightened, self-realized souls, you see, by that unflinching faith. So, is it enough simply to chant 16 rounds and follow the regulated principles? Well, that chanting has to be... Can it be any kind of chanting to become perfect? Or do you have to purify the chanting by avoiding the offenses? You can go on chanting Hare Krishna. If you're committing nama-aparad, you can chant for millions of lifetimes and still not go back to Godhead. Do you know that? Chanting alone is not sufficient. You have to learn to chant without committing the offenses. So Prabhupada always wanted an initiation ceremony, these 10 offenses should be explained. Because the chanting means you must also perfect the art of chanting that you avoid the 10 offenses. So we will go through them here. These 10 offenses. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. And bring me some water in this cup. So, you may say, well, the devotees are very nice, but sometimes, you know, I get agitated and I get angry, and some devotees, you know, this is a problem we face, see, in our movement. Many times people develop a negative attitude towards certain devotees. And this is not good, because this means we can't purely chant the name. If I'm harboring negative attitudes toward this devotee or that devotee, so how do you protect yourself from this offense? Some people say, well, I know, I'll just go away in the forest. No, I won't associate with devotees anymore. Then that way I won't commit any offenses. That doesn't work, because you'll still be committing aparad in your mind. So what the real solution is, you have to follow Narottam Das Thakura's instruction. You know that song, Nama Sankirtan? Anande bolo hari vajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade majayaman. Narottam says you should ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, and you should worship the holy Vrindavan Dham, and in within your mind you should always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. Shri Guru Vaishnava pade Majayaman. Within your mind, always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. So that means every devotee is worshipable. Every single devotee, neophyte devotee, pure devotee, and all in between. Every devotee is worshipable, you see. So if you're always worshipping the devotees, then there will be no aparadha. So this is the way. Always find some good quality in every devotee that you can appreciate him. Even if he has so many bad habits, look for that good quality in the devotee, you see. Find at least one good quality in every devotee that you can appreciate within your heart. That this devotee has this wonderful quality, you see. In this way, find something, at least one good quality about every devotee that you can meditate on And always remember in relationship with that devotee. And then you will not be guilty of this offense of being blasphemous towards the devotees. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, like Shiva or Brahma, to be equal to or independent, the name of Lord Vishnu. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's not another one of the gods. That's important. To disobey the orders of the spiritual masters. Some people say, well, I know how I'll avoid that one. I just won't take a guru. And then I won't commit that any guru, any aparads against. I won't be disobeying his orders because I don't have a guru. But that doesn't work because Krishna says you have to have a guru. Krishna says, what is that verse? I'm just not forgetting the Sanskrit. But, he says, the one who is my devotee, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas tate janaha, mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktas, te me bhakta matamata. The one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you must find some devotee, you see, that you can accept as your spiritual master and fully dedicate your life to that devotee. You see, otherwise Krishna says, who are you? You're not my devotee. You see, if you want to be my devotee, then I want to know which one of my devotees are you a devotee of? Who is your guru? You see, Krishna wants to know, who is your guru? Do you have a guru? Which one of my devotees are you fully dedicated to? If you are, then all right, you're my devotee. Otherwise, go. Come back when you have a guru. Then I'm ready to take your service. You see? So we cannot avoid this principle by not having a guru. That's also disobeying the orders of the original spiritual master, Krishna. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. We have to respect all the Vaishnava literature. That's very important. Number five, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. We say so many things to glorify the holy name, that by the power of the holy name, you can cross over this ocean of material existence and enter the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, if you think that's an exaggeration, you're an offender against the name. These glories of the name, they are not imagination. They are real. And they are experienced by the pure devotees. Just because you're not experiencing them doesn't mean they are not real. It just means that you're still blocked by your offenses. So one should never consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. To give some interpretation of the holy name. This is the business of linguists, not our linguist here, of course. But the mundane linguists, Sanskrit linguists, they say, well, you know, Krishna means black, and black means ignorance. So Krishna means ignorance. So surrendering to Krishna means surrendering to ignorance. You know, in this way they juggle words. You see? That's very offensive. We should not hear from the Sanskrit scholars. We should only hear from the pure devotees. They are the only ones who understand the true meaning of the Sanskrit linguistics. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. That, well, you know, last night I really someone says, well, you know, sometimes I just can't control myself. I have to go and get drunk, but I chant extra rounds the next morning to make up for it. You can't do that kind of stuff. That's cheating. You see? You know, I just couldn't control. I had to go to a prostitute house, but I chanted 16 extra rounds. No, this you cannot do. You cannot do sin and then think you can't. No, you have to purely follow the process. If one has an accidental fall down, that's one thing. Krishna will allow us to resume the process. But you can't make a plan to do sin and then counteract it with chanting. That will never be accepted. It's very offensive. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious bhishlishtic activities offered in the Vedas as primitive activities. That means, is that the Muslim prayers or something? Okay. If one chants Hare Krishna, to get some material benefit. Well, you know, I want to get a new car, so I'm inviting everybody to my house for a kirtan so we can I get a new car. So, no. Don't do Hare Krishna programs for some material thing. It's an namaparad. Even if you get your new car, you're not going to go back to Godhead. You become a cockroach in that car in your next life, you see. So what's the use? Only chant Hare Krishna for achieving pure love of God. Do you think you need to do any rituals to get your material needs fulfilled? In Hinduism, that's considered a very common thing, but that's pretty stupid. You know why? Because Krishna is your loving father. He knows everything that you need. When you were a child growing up in your parents' house, did you have to say, "Mother and father, will you please feed me today?" Did any of you had to beg your parents to be... No. The parents will naturally take care of the children. That is loving affection of the parents. So Krishna is our loving, affectionate father. He will automatically fulfill all material desires, you see, whatever you need. To the extent that you're pure, actually Krishna says, ananyaschintayanto mam yejana paryapasate tesham nichabiyuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. They should chant Hare Krishna. They have a good voice, that chanting. They should chant Hare Krishna. Really a nice voice. Very talented voice. They chanted Hare Krishna. Just imagine how nice it would be if every mosque had Hare Krishna. So anyway, that happened, you know, during Chaitanya's time. The Muslim magistrate became a Hare Krishna. The head Muslim, he became a Hare Krishna. So keep preaching, you know. Miracles can happen by the power of the holy name, you see. All these Muslims, they could become Hare Krishna devotees in the future. I'm being warned of something. It's a politically dangerous statement. I didn't say that. All right. It's recorded, what can I do? So anyway, Krishna will protect me. So anyway, Krishna, it's stated that for one who is... Krishna says, for those who are fully absorbed in me, I preserve whatever they have and I give them whatever they're lacking. So if you become completely surrendered to Krishna, he personally gives you whatever you need. He protects whatever you have. Prabhupada elaborated. He said, Krishna personally delivers it to your door. With all your needs, spiritual, material, Krishna personally comes to your doorway and says, here, take it. I'm giving it to you. So you don't have to worry about money, about food, about anything. Just fully surrender to Krishna and everything will come by his blessing. You don't have to make separate endeavor. You do your duty for livelihood, that's all right. But don't think you have to give your consciousness to the material energy in order to get your material needs. You don't have to give your consciousness to the material energy. You do your livelihood, that's all right. But your heart should be fully dedicated to Krishna at every minute. And by doing that, you'll get all material needs without any difficulty. The more you become Krishna conscious, the more Krishna will give you material facility, actually. In the beginning, if you are mixed between spirit and matter, then Krishna will take away all your material facilities. So you take full shelter of him. But if you're fully surrendered to Krishna, then he will give you unlimited material facility. You see? So just... focus, just chant for the point of developing pure love of God and everything else will come. 9, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of a holy name. Some people say, well, that's great, I didn't like to preach anyway. Everybody is faithless, so I'm just going to sit home and read and chant on my own. And I'm not going to preach because I don't want to preach to the faithless. Is that what it means? No, because Lord Chaitanya says, whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. So how do you balance those two instructions? Preach to everybody and don't preach to the faithless. When everybody's faithless. Is that some contradiction in our teachings? No. What that means is everybody has some level where they are faithful. That faithfulness is buried by many, many layers of faithlessness. So the expert preacher, he knows how to touch that spark of faithfulness in the heart of that person. You see, he knows how to present the philosophy for that particular individual in such a way that that person becomes attracted. Just like there's two kinds of ways you can buy a business suit. You can go to the department store and get a standard business suit, or you can go to a tailor who measures precisely your wrist between the elbow and, you know, here. He measures everything precisely, and he makes a custom business suit just to perfectly fit your body, you see. So you preachers have to be like tailors, not like department stores. You have to learn, when you're preaching to someone, how to understand exactly their mentality and present it exactly to what they need, you see. Not that you preach the same way to every person. You have to understand the individual person you're preaching to and explain it in a way that's suitable just for that person. In this way, you will not commit the ninth offense. And the tenth offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. That one's pretty obvious. We have to. But how do you do that? Well, it's very simple. You can't just give up material attachments. Our nature is to be attached, right? So all you have to do is develop more and more spiritual attachments. Increase your spiritual attachments more and 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 more. And by that, your material attachments will automatically go away. You have to replace your material attachments with spiritual attachments. Are you attached to your wife? Are you attached to your husband? Are you attached to your kids? Attached to your parents? Are you attached to your friends? Okay, make them Krishna conscious. That will purify you, you see. Make it a spiritual attachment. I want to help this person go back to home, back to Godhead, you see. Then that attachment becomes a liberating attachment, a spiritual attachment. And the last one that we add on is to be inattentive while chanting the holy names of the Lord. Not that I'm chanting my japa, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and there's a devotee here and I say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, how are you doing today? Krishna, Krishna, Hare. Oh, really, how's so-and-so doing? Ram, Ram, Hare. Not like that, you see. That's why we recommend early in the morning before sunrise, finish those 16 rounds, qualitative rounds. Because otherwise, chanting here, you know, driving with a clicker, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I mean, it's not very good. It's inattentive. I recommend put the clickers in the trash bin. Get those beads out. Get the beads out again and just learn how to chant in the early morning in the beads, because that's where you get the full attention. In the early morning when there's nothing else except you and Krishna, there's no distractions. Go to bed early, get up early, chant on your beads. That's the best program for becoming a pure devotee very quickly and very easily. So, in this way, these are the 10 offenses. And they're very important for those who are initiated disciples to avoid these offenses. And those of you who want to become initiated, you should also be practicing the avoiding of these offenses, because this will qualify you very quickly for initiation. All right, now. So,